I'd like to read another poem that is a poem that I tried to write talking about a problem that women have. It's not really a problem that women have. It's a problem that all of us have in this culture, and that if I ever talk from the platform more about the problems that women have than the ones that men have, it's not that I believe that women have all the problems. I think if I had my choice, which obviously I don't in this culture, I'd choose to be a woman because I think it really is less burdened with terrible choices and difficult and impossible expectations. And I hope somewhere in the world there's somebody writing about the terrible cultural pressures that this society has put on men. But at any rate, I have to speak for myself and my own problems. And one of the problems that almost all women experience is that when they show strength in a situation where a husband or a lover or another man is simply involved, they frequently wind up being criticized for that strength, being called ball breakers or castrators or bitches or something very terrible, because it's a horrible cultural situation that when you have a man and a woman together, the man is supposed to be strong, and it doesn't matter what the woman is as long as she doesn't usurp that role. And obviously it seems to me that it's so hard for any of us to respond with strength and courage to any situation that any human being who does it ought to be honored for it, and that there's something very terrible about this situation. A few years ago I witnessed a domestic scene that haunted me and for about a year until I could write a poem about it, of a family that had a mentally retarded child and a very unbalanced atmosphere as a result of the enormous strain of caring for this child. And it happened, the father, husband, is one of the most witty and charming men I've ever met in my life. And his wife was one of the dullest people I've ever met in my life. But she had a kind of strength that he didn't have, and he had a kind of weakness that needed her strength enormously. But she was constantly being put in these embarrassing situations where she had to do something very strong and seemingly authoritarian and terrible. And he would sort of withdraw and let everyone criticize her and make it into an ugly and terrible situation. And I wanted to write a poem for her to honor the strength that she showed and to talk about that kind of strength. I wrote a poem called Slicing Oranges for Jeremiah, because the scene that had fascinated me was watching this woman so efficiently slice up these oranges for this child who wanted to eat them. Slicing Oranges for Jeremiah. As the juice ran out on the wooden board, the third orange you had cut for this son of yours opened, and he grabbed the slices like a little raccoon running to prepare them, carrying his bowl to the table where he ate, his instinct trying to make up for something not in his throat or his fingers, trying to make up for the thyroid gland he was born without. He would eat a dozen oranges if you would let him. Rosy Jeremiah with long eyelashes. What does it mean if a child cannot talk when he is six? If he shits in the toilet one day and his pants the next? What does it mean if a man drinks and can't earn enough money? And what if he tells his wife he'd like another woman but wouldn't have one? And what does it mean if he tells his wife she's unpleasant or dull? And what does it mean if his wife takes sleeping pills or walks in front of a car? And what does it mean if Jeremiah takes the sun and slices it up like the oranges and eats a little fire, thirsty for the juice? When you take the knife in your hand to slice an orange first into quarters, then into eighths, each slice shining as orange jelly, a goldfish, lights on the water at night, and you cut competently, efficiently, a housewife who knows how to divide. When you take your instrument and use it making pools of orange juice, letting the peel spray into your nostril, what does it mean? And your son, eating orange after orange, until I felt the juice in my own mouth just watching, and the sweetness, and I wondered what was missing or why, and where his thyroid went or why there was no gland there, and how even this baby animal, your son, must know that it was you who kept him alive, remembering his pill each day, and taking him places where people would respect him, and letting him make drawings and build garbage structures, and how his father knew, too, it was you who kept him alive, your husband, giving him whatever artificial gland it was you did each day, and how they both resented it, depending on it as they did, the men needing the woman more than any man could admit. And what does it mean, this strength you have? It keeps you hovering towards death. It keeps you near the pill bottles and close to the wheels of cars. It keeps you sad and compassionate, willing to understand the miseries of others. It isn't weakness that points us towards death, but strength. Men dying earlier than women to show their strength. Women taking their own lives with gas, in ovens with their gold clock babies under their aprons, with sleeping pills glistening like amber necklaces poured into the stomach's cave, stepping quietly under car wheels as they lie with their men at night, not murmuring, enduring until the breath is pushed out. Slicing oranges for your son. You cannot see what I see. The oranges growing outside my own back door when I was 5. The dusty, dark citrus leaves making black smudges against my sweater. There is a gypsy in me who wants to run with all these oranges in a bag and trade them for the sun, or find someone who will cut them for me the way you sliced them for Jeremiah. That care, that efficiency. Instead of some gland, I might have an orange tree growing just behind my throat, straining to stay alive, to endure, waiting for the efficient hand to reach inside and slice the oranges as you do, as I saw you slice oranges for Jeremiah. Slice the oranges for your son, who could eat a dozen, you said, if you'd let him. I'd like to read.